The average person touches their face 3 to 5 times every waking minute. In between, we're touching doorknobs, water fountains, and each other.
Matt! Mom? No, go up to your room, honey.
So we have a virus with no treatment protocol and no vaccine at this time.
You had a seizure this morning, Beth.
She had a history of seizures.
No.
Allergies.
As of last night, there were 32 cases.
Unfortunately, she did die.
Right. Can I go talk to her?
Mr. Armoff, your wife is dead.
What are you talking about? Okay. What happened to her?
Welcome back, everybody. This is Oscar Talk with yours truly, Chris Tapley of InContention.com and Ann Thompson of Thompson on Hollywood. Today, Ann and I are both in Telluride. We just got here. We're recording this on Thursday. And we are joined by Guy, who is in Venice. How you doing, Guy?
Good.
And Guy is a little tired. We thank him for staying up late to do this with the time.
Yep, so late.
It's very late over there. And I want to say also, everyone, I forgot, like an idiot, my microphone. I knew I was forgetting something when I left the house this morning. So if the audio is a bit dicey compared to other podcasts, that would be why. But with Guy on the horn, I think we're going to dive in and just start talking about Venice stuff. So at this point, Guy, you've seen the big ones are The Ides of March, Carnage, and W.E., which sounds like a masterpiece. Let's start with W.E. because that's probably fresh on your mind right now.
Yeah, it's I suppose it is a kind of masterpiece. I think it could be a new kind of camp classic in a way. I shouldn't speak sort of too heavily because I think it does actually have some fans, but I think, and I know a lot of other people who think it is a complete train wreck. In this kind of bizarrely out of touch, kind of in its own world kind of way, it's a film that kind of wants to be about this 20th century romance that it claims is, you know, the greatest love story of our time, and yet seems to evaluate it entirely through clothes and jewelry and possessions, and to borrow a phrase from a critic friend of mine who I was sitting with, said it makes Single Man look like a Ken Loach movie. It's so opulent, it's obscene, and there's just no human agency to it at all. It's a bizarre piece of work.
What are the you say there are people that are fans of it? What virtue are they finding in it?
Well, David Gritton, who reviewed it for Thompson on Hollywood, basically said that he got some escapist enjoyment out of it. He wasn't saying it was a good movie by any means, but he was saying he had fun with it.
Was there fun to be had, Guy? What do you think?
I don't think there's any fun to be had as such. I mean, that's intentional. I think it's often hilarious in that way. What it is it's very lavishly crafted. So it's got kind of visual pleasures going for it. But as a piece of storytelling, I felt completely disconnected from it. I couldn't lose myself in that love story at all, even on a kind of soap opera level. Especially it's got this parallel structure, Julie and Julia thing going with Abby Cornish as the modern day New York trophy wife who's somehow inspired by Wallace Simpson, the American socialite who married Edward VIII. And she is, that character is written as such a cipher that you're never let in at all.
That's interesting because it makes me wonder. I put up the post asking for questions. And somebody asks, did the Weinstein Company see the film before they bought it? How do you explain the pickup? I'm curious because it doesn't seem like an inherently marketable film.
They're hanging on to it for this season, it seems like. Mm-hmm. You know, they're giving it a big push. They may think they have another Single Man. Isn't it very fashion-oriented, very opulently shot?
It is very fashion oriented. It's blatantly imitative of A Single Man in a lot of ways. It's actually got the same composer as well. And I was thinking throughout, God, the score sounds like A Single Man. And then his name came up in the end credits. So I was like, oh. But, I mean, A Single Man had, beneath the style, a real kind of emotional pull and emotional hook and great performance. And, I mean, a single great performance grounding it. And this just doesn't have that. If Harvey Weinstein thinks he's got another kind of art house hit on that scale, then he's going to be surprised.
Well, he's apparently put Cynthia Schwartz on it, who's the big PR Oscar maven.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so it's sort of it's an interesting situation. Maybe he has a relationship with Madonna, which he appears to, you know, a long term one going back to Truth or Dare, which was a big hit at Cannes and everything. Mm-hmm. And it was Alex Kasishian who made that, who also wrote this with Madonna. Mm-hmm. But he seems to be, I bet he's aiming for a Golden Globes play.
It's not going to happen. What it will get is, I think it's just about a guaranteed Oscar nomination for Best Costume Design for Ariane Phillips, who I think is have always thought is a wonderful designer, and she's on top form here. I mean, the whole film is just one big fashion plate. But I just don't see... The critics are going to be very hard on it.
Already have been.
For the most part. Yeah. Yes, exactly. Yeah. And it's just not going to take off. And I don't think it has... It doesn't have an actor like Colin Firth who can pull in an audience. You know?
Critics seem to be pretty hard on Carnage as well. What did...
Wasn't that more mixed? My sense was there were some positives and negatives.
There were a few, yeah. Well, yeah. I saw a couple this morning before I got on the plane, but what did David think, and did he write it up
yet? He quite liked it, yeah. Okay. Yeah. He it was interesting. Some of the reviews gave the edge to Jodie Foster, and some of them gave the edge to Christoph Waltz, and apparently he's the one who got the most applause at the press conference.
Mm. Yeah, I think, Guy, you were on the Christoph
I'm
Waltz.
All about Waltz. I think he is... He runs away with the movie.
It's a great part. He plays the asshole, basically.
Yeah, and he's fantastic. And he's the one who underplays the most. When everyone else is getting quite shrill and hysterical, he kind of cuts through with these sort of icy one-liners. He's fantastic.
And wasn't Kate... how is Kate Winslet's hurl?
she pulls that off. I have other problems with her performance. I think she seems the least comfortable with that material of all of them. I don't think she's cast especially well. I think she's also too young. She's not bad. No one is bad. But I wish there are other actresses I wish were there instead of her.
Does it feel claustrophobic?
It does, but appropriately in a way. I mean, I think, you know, Roman Polanski hasn't shied away from the fact that this is very stagey material. There isn't really a way to open it out. So I'm glad he hasn't done this sort of, you know, contrived, I don't know, let's all go out to the park thing that sometimes those sort of stage adaptations do. But so it's, you know, it's very faithful to the spirit of the play. It's very much still on the same scale. The problem is I'm not sure if that story or that narrative really entirely works on film. I think the stage just fits it more.
Well, one thing that, just in the brief kind of gleaning of reviews I was reading, it seemed like it was a bit of a toothless take on it. I mean, the play has real bite and some depth, but... You know, when that trailer first hit, it was playing up all the comedy, and then some of the reviews I read seemed to indicate that it was playing for those things too. Did you feel that way?
I think it's been a couple of years since I saw the play, so I was trying to remember exactly how, you know, how the adaptation, if anything serious, was left out. I mean, it's still pretty bitter stuff, and I think it's I didn't think it had been particularly defanged, but what it does lack for me is any real cultural sort of specificity. I mean, because this is a play that was originally written and set in Paris, and it's been, you know, relocated depending on where it's staged to, you know, New York, as in Broadway, and in the film here, and or in the London version I saw. So it's kind of universal, but I think for a film, I think the adaptation, they could have tailored it more to that New York milieu and made it more explicitly about American society. As it is, it feels a little bit vague. Mm. There aren't any real kind of cultural references.
That may have to do with the fact that he wasn't able to actually shoot it in America because he had to shoot it in Europe.
Yeah.
It could well be.
I kind of find myself wishing
just
it had
not
been
that in touch. You know,
right.
He might not have been the best person to do that. Or maybe he should have directed it, but, you know, set it in France and done it as a French film. I don't know.
Yeah, I kind of find myself wishing it had been like Mike Nichols or something.
Mm.
They took it on. But regardless, Anne and I guess we'll see that soon enough. It's going to open. Is it playing Toronto?
I don't think
boy.
It is.
I think it's opening New York,
it's opening
and therefore
New York.
It's
That's
not
right,
going to
yeah.
be
yeah.
in Toronto. Okay. So we're going to have to wait a while.
Yeah.
Unless they screen it for us.
Have they screened
it's
The Ides of
that
March
it's
for you, Anne?
No.
No, okay. Me neither. I've had trouble getting in.
Have they not had any LA screenings at all of
Oh,
Ides
they've
of
had
March?
Plenty, but apparently not for Oscar people. And not for not unless you're doing interviews in Toronto. There's a raft of reasons that are all strange and whatever, but let's talk about it because, Guy, you saw it, and you were, you know, I was speaking to a colleague at the airport, and he thought you were pretty harsh on it, but
I've been told that, yeah. But I enjoyed it. It's a solid, you know, piece of kind of highbrow entertainment. I think it's really obvious and not especially revelatory. It's sort of, wow, politicians are dirty, and it doesn't really go any deeper than that for me. And I was hoping it would, you know, it would get its claws out a little more and surprise me. It's kind of well acted and well crafted, and but it didn't really spark for me.
Well, everyone can read your review on that, I guess. We'll jump out of the Venice stuff, but is there anything that you've seen otherwise that you think's worth mentioning?
Not really. It's been a slow start to the festival. The smaller things I've seen have mostly been not very good. There was one I saw yesterday, a Liu Ye film with Taha Rahim. That is, I imagine, as big a fan as I am of him, is not really going to go the distance in terms of international distribution.
Does he make good on the promise of a prophet?
He's more the sort of secondary lead in it. He's fine in it, but it's a bit of a one note role.
Right.
He gets naked a lot in it for you know, so I suppose for some people that's
there you go, Anne.
It could be a lure.
Yeah.
You know me too well.
Well, I will just say about the Ides of March as well, because I didn't really mention it.
I'd like to know
as,
more about what you think the Oscar
player.
Yeah, what are the Oscar possibilities there?
I think, I mean, I sort of read afterwards that Dave Karger thinks it's, you know, the only slam dunk of the year so far, and far be it from me to argue with Dave, who knows far more than I do. But my first feeling when I came out of it was that it's too kind of dry to go the distance, almost. I can see
dry,
especially. Yeah, it's not. But then, I mean, I said the same thing about Frost Nixon, and I was wrong about that too. I just don't think there's enough. I can't see how it would really make people feel especially strongly.
Well, I've heard that the Gosling character is an interesting kind of unintentional because of how long they've been trying to make the movie and that it's based on a play, but that he's kind of representative of where America is right now, torn between the idea of, you know, the promise and the hope of someone like Obama and the realities of a situation and whatnot. So is there any of that
that's interesting? That's pretty interesting take, and it may be that once it opens in America and gets the reviews there, they might turn out more enthusiastic than they've been so far here, where it's been well received, but people aren't really turning cartwheels.
It's a curious place to
premiere. I don't think I think it has to do with
Clooney being in Italy.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah, certainly.
And liking to go. He has a real history in Venice. He goes all the time.
Love him. I mean, at the press conference yesterday, I mean, they're just, you know, genuflecting.
He's actually coming to Telluride, which is, I'm astonished.
They're going to have a big tribute here for him.
And they're going to show the Descendants and not, apparently, the Ides of March.
Which is
bizarre.
I
know.
But
that's surprising. That's, I'm wondering with Oscars what performance it could really sort of hang a campaign on. Because while everyone in the cast is, you know, on pretty much on form, I don't think anyone's really, apart from maybe Evan Rachel Wood, who starts very strong and then has a slightly, her character has a bit of a curtailed arc, without getting spoilery, that slightly disappointed me, but she's really doing strong work. So I think she, if the film is going to take off, then I'd expect her most of all to be the one to benefit. Mm. But everyone else is just kind of, Philip Seymour Hoffman is doing Philip Seymour Hoffman very well, ditto Paul Giamatti, George Clooney. I can't see anyone really making enough of a sort of impact or breakthrough.
I've been hearing Phil Hoffman the whole time, so that's interesting you say that.
He's very good, but it's a character we've seen him play before.
Yeah.
It's,
interesting.
Yeah.
But then they really do like him, so maybe it. But I think for him to get nominated, the film would have to really catch on.
I'm going to have to see it because just the Academy itself is so liberal and so interested in politics and so in love with Clooney that I just have to see, you know, for myself. In other words, I'm wondering if they might not be a more captive audience for this particular film, as they were for Good Night and Good Luck and Syriana.
Yeah. You could well be right. Box office wise, I'm also interested to see how it does.
Mm-hmm.
I think it might be
real question.
Yeah.
Although again, in America, it may be more topical than it is in England or Italy.
Yeah. Well, as you said, Anne, Clooney's going to be here in Telluride. The Descendants will be here. The Descendants and Albert Nobbs seem to be the two big first looks, I guess, and Shame too, I guess, from Steve
and
McQueen.
And Glenn Close will be here as well.
Oh, will she? I didn't know that. Very cool.
Glenn Close and Tilda Swinton has a tribute as well, but as you say, we've seen at least Guy and I have seen. We need to talk about Kevin.
Right. I'm trying to decide if I want to see that while I'm here or not. It's, I don't know if I want to be in that mindset or not while I'm here, but we'll see. Sometimes you have to go there. They've only got it scheduled for Sunday at the moment, or Monday. I'm sure it'll be at one of the TVAs that are throughout the schedule. But otherwise, there's, as I said, Shame, which I am probably looking forward to more than anything else from Steve McQueen. I was a huge Hunger fan.
Me too.
No, that's my number
and
one sort of
fan of
most anticipated
too.
Venice.
Yeah.
And
Fassbender will be here with the Cronenberg film.
I cannot wait to see that.
Yeah. Guy's
going
to see it,
by the way. The buzz is good on that.
Awesome.
I'm seeing that in about 7 hours, so
lucky
I will let you know.
Basically meaning you will have seen this by the time everyone hears it.
Exactly. That's it.
What else was there, Anne? There's a lot of Cannes holdovers that I want to see, like Le Havre, Footnote.
And The Artist.
The Artist, which I caught earlier in the week, and if you'd like, we can talk about that. Because
let's do it. You was it overhyped for you then?
I think it's very oversold movie. It's funny because it does exactly what it sets out to do, which is a very hard task, to make a silent film that is compelling enough to get a modern audience to pay attention to. I was certainly paying attention and into it throughout. However, it got to a point where the story is so paper thin, just what is actually the story of the film. And there are just no peaks and valleys there. It's just kind of like a straight line. And it just grinds to a bit of a halt. I mean, there's a lot of charm. There's a lot of cute things going on. There's a great directorial touch with a sound scene.
Yes.
That I think is very clever
brilliant.
And very brilliant.
Yeah.
I mean, I'll give him that absolutely. But on the whole, it's just, and this does not change my opinion of it for awards. I think that this is going to be something that the Academy will eat up.
Yeah,
I agree. I agree. I really do.
But I just was really left for wanting, you know.
I think it's right at the top of the list right now. Yeah. I mean, of the ones we've seen. And I even think that Jean Dujardin could get nominated.
Absolutely.
I think he could win.
Because he carries it. I mean, without him, there's nothing.
He's a very expressive individual, and it needed that. And as well as from the actress, I forget her name, Guy.
I don't think she'll be nominated, though.
I think she'll be nominated in supporting.
I don't think that'll happen.
I think Harvey Weinstein is going to get this film very far.
Well, he doesn't have anything to work with.
He'll sweep up a lot of people with him. No, he sure doesn't.
Yes, this is good for the artist.
But yeah, I don't know.
I think that this is going to go all the way. And you know, you could imagine cinematography. But one of the things about Jean Dujardin is that he does not speak English. So that is an interesting challenge as far as doing the rounds and campaigning.
He speaks some, doesn't he?
Apparently, really not. I was sitting next to Penelope Ann Miller on the plane, and she had done Chaplin. And so she was an adept silent actress already.
Interesting.
I thought that was interesting.
It's great to see her crop up. I was like, where has she been?
She was very good, I thought. Anyway, I think that's going to play like gangbusters with the Academy.
Yeah, yeah, definitely.
It's going to win audience awards kind of at Toronto or whatever, just down the line.
But just if I can be a little, you know.
What is your downside? It's just too thin, too slim?
It's just, yeah, it's very slight. And
it was a real discovery for me when I saw it.
I don't think it's slight. I think it's such a classic arc. It's the star.
It's a classic arc, but I feel like Dujardin, the character's arc, happens pretty much just after the first act, and then it's just, he's a washed-up silent film actor bemoaning talkies for the rest of the film. And it's like, it never really goes anywhere after that. Until the very final moments. And even that was kind of, it felt a bit swiftly dealt with. And I don't know. I mean, what I took away from it was just kind of the
wink. It's a love story for me, actually. And there is a twist in it, which works pretty effectively. I love the idea that all these French people went over and shot this movie in America and in English, but it's silent.
The things I took away from it were like the winks and the nudges. I really liked the Citizen Kane reference. I'm sure everyone picks up.
Yeah, absolutely.
Sitting around the breakfast table was really, I was chuckling through that. And you know, it's a strikingly made, aesthetically, you know, just everything below the line on it is, you know,
terrific,
worthy,
top
worthy.
Notch. Yeah.
So,
do you think Academy members are just going to really respond to it because it's basically about them
absolutely.
And about the industry? Do you think that's the kind of key to the campaign?
And it's Singing in the Rain and The Star is Born, yeah. And it's just they also recognize the degree of difficulty. You know, this was a hard movie
absolutely.
To make.
Absolutely, it's to pull something like this off. I think they'll have respect for.
Yeah.
But yeah, I'll have a more in depth kind of look at that from the festival here. Was there anything else? Let me dig up the. Was there anything else worth talking about that's here? Because it's. I don't want to say I was disappointed because there's a lot here I want to see, but it seemed like it was a little thin on surprises this year, or bigger surprises.
Well, there may be some TBAs, even if they aren't the Ides of March. So I am looking to see some revelations in there. But
what do you think they'll be?
I don't know.
I know one of them is Butter.
Oh, good. Well, that's a good one.
Okay. Have you seen it?
No. Okay. No. I mean, the Weinsteins have been very high on that all along.
Yeah, it's kind of been somewhat off my radar, so.
Kind of a fable, a Midwestern fable about carving butter at a state fair starring Jennifer Garner, but there's a whole other subtext to it. I'm very curious to see it.
Okay, well, maybe that'll be a bit of a discovery.
Yeah, and I'm looking forward to the George Harrison documentary, even if Martin Scorsese isn't coming. I'm looking forward. I've heard good things, too, about the Wim Wenders Pina direct documentary.
Pina is wonderful.
Oh, good.
Is it?
See, yeah.
Yeah.
And I want
maybe
to see
I read you.
I'll say one thing for Pina, which I saw at Berlin. It's the single best use of 3D in a film I've seen maybe ever. It's
wow.
It's astounding. It kind of single-handedly makes the case for the technology to sort of art house skeptics. So.
Mm-hmm.
And then the other one, there's a Werner Herzog, of course, Into the Abyss, which I can't wait to see. So, you know, and then there, like, you know, Josh Marsden comes back after a really long time. You know, he's an interesting indie filmmaker. That's a film that had not been on my radar at all. And there's a new Russian film. I mean, that's the stuff where you can count right. on the programmers to come up with something that no one else has come up with.
What's the Russian film, by the way? I was talking to someone at the airport about that. Set in the future, right?
Target, I think it's called.
Target. And then, Guy, have you seen the Turin Horse?
I have, yeah. I saw that Berlin.
Is Bela Tatar your cup of tea?
Well, you know, I like... sometimes. But it's an interesting film to be the first film shown at the festival. It's the first film on the schedule.
That is a pretty bold choice.
It is the Hungarian submission, apparently.
Yeah. It is, yeah.
My first instinct when I heard that news today was like, good luck with that. But then after Dogtooth, you know, who knows anymore? So
yeah.
It's beautiful. It's as a piece of craft, it's extraordinary. It's shot and the sound design is like nothing I've seen this year, but it's grueling kind of hardcore art house stuff.
Yeah.
And it's almost kind of self-parodic to the point where, you know, you've got a sort of half hour sequence involving the boiling and eating of a potato.
Sounds like a Bellatar movie.
It is a Bellatar movie. If you're...
I may not go to see that.
you'll be in heaven. I admire it more than I like it, but it's a pretty astonishing achievement.
Cool. Well, that's Telluride for now. We'll discuss more of that later. But for now, let's give them a treat and just dig into Contagion, which we saw about a week ago, week and a half ago, and you know. Screens in Venice on Saturday. Guy's actually going to miss it, so this is a good opportunity to just talk about it.
Well,
what were your thoughts?
I'm one of those people that can love a Soderbergh movie and then turn, you know, be totally appalled by another one. You know, so he's up and down for me,
mm-hmm.
And I'm sure that's true of a lot of people with him because he's, you know, he's always trying different things. He's experimental. He's a formidable intelligence, but he's not always a commercial filmmaker. This movie's really good. I liked it. I thought it was really well written. I saw you did an interview with the screenwriter who mm-hmm. I also interviewed, but I haven't gotten around to posting it yet.
Sorry.
you're ahead of me. I just thought it was top notch. It was, you know, well written, really lean, really disciplined, great performances. I love the way that he's like killing off major movie stars from the get go, and it's about a real threat, something that we can all be genuinely afraid of, and it freaked me out.
Yeah, disciplined is a good word for it because there's a lot that was shot that's not in this movie. I mean, they honed it down, and you know, and even to the point that certain kind of storylines, story threads are left dangling in resolution, which I thought was interesting because one of the cool things the movie does, I think, is it keeps you at arm's length.
It's not trying to make you emotionally involved.
Absolutely not. I mean, there's heart in the movie.
But it is trying to freak you out.
There's heart in the movie, but there's something about... There's something about it being very cold and observational of its characters that I thought was fantastic because it's about a circumstance where you have to stay away from people and not get close to them. And that was employed in the script as well as I love this idea that really, you know, they were taken with thematically was the idea of the spread of misinformation in a time of crisis and juxtaposing that with the idea of the spread of a virus. And Jude Law plays a blogger journalist character who is opportunistic.
Gives us all a bad name, I might add.
He does. But you know, it's. I think it's a valid point. You took what?
I took some exception to that.
I think there's a valid point being made about about the spread of misinformation and just I don't know. It, there's that great line from Elliot Gould, though, about, you know, blogging is not writing, it's graffiti with punctuation.
That one I objected to. Yeah.
That's fair enough.
And that they give Jude Law bad teeth. I mean, he's just so smarmy. He's so awful.
That's the word for it, smarmy.
He loved it. He loved doing it, I can tell.
He had the most meat to chew on.
And Winslet was very good also. Mm-hmm. And so was Paltrow. I mean, Paltrow is sort of the patient number one kind of thing. Mm-hmm. And it's harrowing to watch what she goes through. But it's also a detective story. And I got a big kick out of the scientists, you know. Mm-hmm. Jennifer Ely is always good, mm-hmm. You know, as a brainy, you know, molecular biologist who's really trying to figure it all out. And and Lawrence Fishburne was solid. Mac Damon was solid. I love the fact that he's capable of doing these ensemble roles without, you know, popping out as a movie star, mm-hmm. which I think, you know, Soderbergh is good at too. Mm-hmm. And they all did it for a price.
Yeah, and it's I don't really think it's going to be an awards thing. I don't think it's going to be an
Oscar either,
thing.
I don't either, actually.
But I do think it can be a commercial thing, and it's interesting. I think it's opening the same weekend as Warrior, if I'm not mistaken. And
I bet it does well.
Early September is iffy, but we'll see. But yeah, chalk me up as a fan. It's going to play Venice Saturday, and then I imagine reviews will start hitting. Mm-hmm. Well, before we duck out of here, let's get to a couple of reader questions, see if anybody had something smart to say. We talked about Ides of March. So one person wanted to know about Kate Winslet's Oscar chances with Carnage and Contagion.
I'd say not.
Yeah, just on the Contagion side, no. And
well, for Carnage, I'd say not. Okay. I'd say Jodie Foster has a better chance than she does. But I don't think the film is really... I think the film is going to be too kind of brittle for them. And I think the actors will struggle to gain headway because of that.
Kyle wants to know about Young Adult, which is his most anticipated film of the Oscar season. He wants to know if there's a possibility that the studio's strategic decision to keep the film off the festival circuit could backfire, particularly with the strength of the lineups at Venice and Toronto. I know for a fact they're talking about this at Paramount, and wondering if they shouldn't maybe get it out there to people, you know, sooner than they might have otherwise. I don't think it's going to backfire because the reasoning was sound, right? You don't want to peak too early if you think you've got something good, and they think they have something good. What are your thoughts?
I think it's going to be as long as the movie delivers, you can present them. I mean, I don't understand the worry about getting lost is more about a smaller film. This movie is going to be watched. This movie is going to be written about and checked out. This is not a movie that's going to get lost. So you can wait as long as you want. I don't see what I mean. I think that they get anxious when they see other films getting ahead of them or getting a lot more play or and so forth and momentum building. The question is whether you can get the momentum when you start to show the film.
Yeah. Well, the flip side of that is Adam's question, which is what film has the most to gain in terms of this year's Oscar race by good word of mouth out of the festivals? I'm thinking along the lines of Black Swan last year, which had a good festival showing that helped propel it to Oscar success, despite most people thinking it was not in the Academy's wheelhouse. We haven't seen some of the stuff at Telluride yet, but I mean, what do you think kind of will benefit from the festival circuit?
It's hard to tell what the word of mouth hits will be until they start generating word of mouth.
Yeah, I can't. I mean, the artist is going to need to get a lot of attention in order to get a hold.
It's smart to keep that in festivals for sure.
Absolutely. And I think the same is true of the films we've already talked about. You know, they need attention.
I will say that everyone I know who's seen Tinker Tailor Soldier Spy is very enthusiastic. And I think that could be the kind of thing that's not necessarily the easiest or most obvious sell, but kind of critical.
Well, it's also less about kind of festival buzz because it's going to play Venice and then open in the UK shortly thereafter, and then it's kind of out there.
Waits until its theatrical opening here in November.
Yes, but they're so quarantined that, you know.
Yeah, it is odd.
And I'm sure the people in the UK are saying, see how we feel. They're going to get 10-10 early this year too.
Now, I am very anxious to see Tinker Tailor, but at the same time, it doesn't look like an overt Oscar play to me, partly because of its genre backbone, you know?
Mm-hmm.
It could be a little too thriller-ish for the Academy.
Mm-hmm. It's a very cerebral kind of thriller, though, and it's sort of quite steeped in history. Mm-hmm.
Well, is Gary Oldman a best actor?
Well, I haven't seen it yet, but I'm hearing that he's very good. The word I keep hearing is meticulous.
And it looks that way by the trailers alone.
Yeah. It looks great. I can't wait to see it. But it has to reach a certain threshold, obviously, to be really serious Academy fare.
But it could be, it could be the. There's always.
I bet it's a performance or two. Yeah.
That kind of takes off, and there isn't really an obvious British alternative this year, so it could be the one. You know,
guys, some people want to know about Andrea Riseborough and WE that they kept hearing about hype for her, and that's certainly something that I had heard. We didn't touch on it when you were talking about the movie. What did you think of her in the film?
I'd heard a lot of the hype before, and I'd been told that, even if the film was uneven in some ways, her performance was something special. I have to say, I didn't quite see it. She's fine. She's a good actress, and she's doing, I think, what she can. But I think the role is so limited in the way it's written. I don't see much there, I've got to say. She looks the part. She's brilliantly kind of costumed and made up, which I think helps her a lot.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't... Maybe it's just because I'm too down on the film, but I don't see a really revelatory performance there. I don't think it's the one for her.
Okay. Well, let's just leave it there. I think that's a good podcast.
Thanks, Guy.
Thanks for staying up. You. Now you should go to sleep and get up bright and early to see Dangerous Method.
And get enough Can't to wait. Eat, honey. Get enough to eat, okay?
I will. I had dinner this very evening. Don't you
I'm
wanna?
Happy to hear it.
All right, guys. Thanks again.
See you later. Bye.
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 That's right.